Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven.
And Kyle.
And as you can kind of tell, you guys are going to have to bear with me. I've got a pretty bad head cold, so just we're going to deal with that as we go. But Kyle has a pretty interesting topic to bring to the table today that he has yet to tell me about. So
yeah, it's going
to
be fun. It's in the kind of in the spirit of Halloween, so I'll just put that out there for now.
Ooh, we are in the spooky season, so that's good.
Yeah, it's very...
I'm stoked.
It's very mainstream currently, so...
Dope.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's the Mothman.
Yeah.
Awesome. But before we get into Kyle's super mainstream Halloween topic, we got to get through the business. So that includes us plugging all of our socials. You can find us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. What's the other shit? YouTube.
Tube you.
Yep. Just get on there and check out Hollow Sky Podcast, and we are there. If you have a creepy story you'd like to share with us, paranormal encounter, abducted by aliens, possessed by a demon, whistleblower conspiracy, how are they going to get a hold of us, Kyle?
You guys can call us at 1-877-800-HOLLOW. Leave a message. If it's over the length of 5 minutes, you'll have to call back and finish it. Or you can get on your smartphones, use your voice memo app, record yourself, then email it to us. And the email is hollowskypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you are listeners on Apple, iTunes, podcasts, and all that good stuff, make sure to pop over and leave us a review and a rating. And any of them 5 stars we get with a review, we will definitely shout you out on here.
Right on.
It'd be awesome.
And with the phone calls and stuff, if you guys just want to call and say hi or anything, give us, critique us, give us
topics to talk about.
Yeah, just leads, anything that's happened in your hometown or things you've seen while driving your semi down the interstate or whatever. Just and you don't have to have your name included if you don't want to. It can be completely anonymous. You know, we're not picky about that. So just get at us.
Yeah, and I just want to shout all of you guys out. Our downloads have been doing fucking awesome here lately. So to everybody that's tuning in, I just want to say thanks for sharing with all your friends and keep it up. You guys are awesome, and we love you.
Yeah, so much appreciated.
So on that note, we're going to get to our listener experience for the day. And this comes from Tia in North Carolina.
Hi, guys. My name's Tia. I'm from North Carolina. I was just calling because I'm just listening to the new episode, and you guys were talking about sleep paralysis and that maybe being a factor in the guy's story when he fell asleep in his truck and then he woke up with the bright lights. I personally, for the record, believe that sleep paralysis is, you know, even the textbook sleep paralysis is not always just sleep paralysis. And there's a documentary on Netflix. I can't think of the name of it right now, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it, where people have actually been able to stop sleep paralysis by saying the name of Jesus. And like, I'm not a super, like, religious person or anything like that. I was raised Christian, and I was always told things like that, but I experienced it myself before, and so I was just going to call in and share that. Basically, like, what happened was, this was probably about 5 years ago, and my husband and I had been seeing some strange light formations in the sky. At night, we would be on our back porch and see him, and he even recorded it once, but it was on an old phone, so we don't have it anymore. But we have been seeing UFOs for a while, and it was really crazy, but we both believed, you know, okay, well, yeah, that's definitely what they are, because they would be in formation, they would be moving together in a really weird way, things like that. And one night, I was asleep in bed, and I woke up out of my sleep, but I couldn't move. And I looked towards my bedroom door, and two gray aliens about 3 feet tall, walked in the room, and they were walking towards me, and it was literally the most terrifying experience I've ever experienced in my life. I've never had any thing happen like that to me before, and I was scared out of my mind. And the only thing I could think, like the first thing I could think to do, was to say Jesus, and I couldn't move. I was trying to get the word out. It was really hard to do. It's like my mouth was like glued shut almost, but I was moving my lips like trying to get it out. And these things are literally, as this is happening, they're moving towards me. So I'm like, if these things get to me, like, I'm not trying to go anywhere. I don't want to be abducted. Like, I'm just like really trying hard. And I finally get the word Jesus out of my mouth. And it was nothing but a whisper, because it was so hard to move. But it just came out like Jesus. And literally as soon as I said it, it's like they were sucked out of my room. They flew out of my room. My bedroom door slammed shut, and it's like I took a deep breath and I was able to sit up, and I was out of it, and they were gone. And so, like, I'm terrified. I'm crying, like, boohoo crying, terrified. I'm trying to wake up my husband. He won't wake up. And I just, like, lay back in the bed, like, cover my head under the covers, and just kind of, like, lay awake until it's daytime again. And I experienced this firsthand, and I have never experienced sleep paralysis a day in my life before or since. So, you know, I am 100% sure that it wasn't just, like, the medical textbook definition sleep paralysis, because I've never had it, not even slept walk. I've never even done that before. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. One strange thing about this story is that I brought this up to my husband maybe a few weeks ago, kind of like, you remember like that? Like, I was just wanting to talk to him about it, because I think we were listening to another show. We listened to another podcast called Monsters Among Us, and we were talking about it, and he could not remember me ever telling him that. And I know for sure that I told him that when it happened, and for him to not remember that, he was like, that's really crazy that I don't remember that. But anyways, that's it. Thanks, guys. I know this has gotten long, but thanks for letting me share. Bye.
First off, Tia, thank you so much for calling in and describing your experience. I just want to say it gave me goosebumps. Definitely creepy.
Absolutely.
Definitely creepy. The documentary you're talking about, I'm pretty sure it's called The Nightmare. It's on YouTube, it is on YouTube, but it's also on
Netflix.
And I've seen it, and it just has people talking about sleep paralysis and whatnot. First thing I want to say is, I don't think this is sleep paralysis.
I agree with that statement.
The fact that you guys had seen the light formations, UFOs for lack of a better term, and then this comes right on the tail end of it. It sounds like your typical alien abduction scenario. You know what I mean? You see the lights. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's like encounters of the first kind, encounters of the second kind, encounters of the third kind. But on the topic of saying Jesus's name and they disappear brings me to a part that I'm kind of torn about, because you kind of hear people question whether or not extraterrestrials could be demons. And Kyle doesn't, like, if there's one thing Kyle hates more than extraterrestrials, it's definitely demons.
Oh yeah, dude, they scare me more than anything, and I'm with you. And for me, that part of your story is what validates it so much, because you gave so much detail of these beings entering your room. You gave their height, what they look like. And then, you know, you're trying to say Jesus' name, And when you get it out, you see them get sucked out of the room, as you put it. I don't know. To me, it just, there's just way too many cards for it to be sleep paralysis. And the irony of it, if you haven't backlogged our episode or our show, I actually, in the very first episode, I go over a situation that is slightly similar to what you experienced here, that I personally experienced, and that was whenever I saw what I think is a screen memory of eyes in my bedroom, and they were shaped like your typical alien eyes, you know, they're almond shaped and everything. And I got so scared that I didn't say Jesus' name, but I put the covers over my head and I started saying the Our Father. And I said it 3 times. And then I finally had the courage to pull the covers from over my head and it was gone. So I didn't see it, you know, leave my room or anything like that. But, you know, I, for lack of better words, I did the same thing you did. And at the same time, I don't personally like the theory that aliens are demons. I don't like that theory. And it's more so because I don't want it to be that way.
Not that you don't believe that it could be.
Right, yeah.
You
no,
just don't want it to be.
I just don't want it to be.
Because I'm, like I said before, I'm not a very religious person. But if there's extraterrestrials that come from fucking a galaxy far, far away, why would the name of Jesus have any bearing on them at all?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But you hear time and time again, because this isn't the first time I've heard someone, you know, use that as protection, the name of Jesus or pray or
yeah,
anything like that to get these to go away. So it's either, I mean, I don't know, man, there has to be some correlation there.
Yeah, for sure.
You would think. You know, and it's just, these things get kind of cloudy because you hear sleep paralysis, but then in probably 80% of alien abductions and stories, you hear of paralysis as well, where the people can't move, they can't talk, they just can't do anything but lay there and be abducted.
You know? Yeah.
So I don't know. It's definitely makes you think, and it definitely was a creepy story.
Yeah, it's even more curious that your husband had no recollection of it. It was almost, it's almost like the Betty and Barney Hill situation, where Betty remembered almost everything, and Barney basically didn't remember anything.
Yeah, it's almost like he's either blocked it out or it's been blocked out by something else.
I think it was more of it's been blocked out by something else than him doing it himself. Not that anybody would want to remember anything like that.
Yeah, it's definitely bizarre. So, thanks for calling in and sharing that experience. I also want to know, has anything connected to the strange lights, have you continued seeing them? Have you had any more experiences dealing with them? If so, definitely hit us up on Facebook or any social media, or you could even call us back in and let us know. But thanks for sharing your story, Tia.
Yep, thank you.
All right, so with that being said, Kyle's about to jump right into this mystery topic.
It's going to be too dope. Have you ever heard of CONOP 8888?
Well, of course I have.
Have you?
No.
Good. Well, apparently, this is the Pentagon's plan to ward off a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. Then totally I have. Kind of.
I first got curious by it because I'd heard that the CDC had planned for it as well. So I got on the CDC's website, started doing a little bit of research. Kind of turns out that they just, since the zombie theme has been so big in the past years, they kind of more or less used it as like a segue into how you should be more prepared for natural disasters and stuff like that. You know, they used what to do in case of zombies, but then they'd be like, or an earthquake or natural disaster. You know, you should have water on hand, food, et cetera, et cetera. But I did a little more digging and found out that the Pentagon actually drafted a plan to fight zombies.
Awesome.
And literally at the beginning of this plan, which I found the actual release documents, it says this is not a joke. This is not a joke.
It's awesome that they have to put that in there.
Yeah. And the plan was drafted in April of 2011 by military planners of the U.S. Strategic Command in Omaha, Nebraska, which is a part of the Department of Defense. So, yeah, it's curious. And as we go into more details, for me, it kind of raises a little more red flags. But
red flags good or red flags bad?
Red flags bad. Because once you read into it more and you read news articles that have been written about it. So basically, it was drafted to help the military think outside the box when fighting new enemies that they haven't prepared for. And instead of waging war against, or their planners waging, you know, a mental war against humans, they create a foe that they have more or less fun with and don't feel the weight of their actions.
Oh, that's kind of fucked.
Yeah, well, so with that being said, it's expected that the government will declare, you know, this is part of the actual plan. It's expected that the government will declare martial law first, which is kind of, you know, given. Once the outbreak occurs, they're going to declare martial law, more or less, I would imagine, to keep people in their homes and to try to keep as much order as possible.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, because when you say zombie apocalypse, it's not going to be like Day of the Dead zombie apocalypse.
No, and we'll go into that a little more.
All right.
But,
I'm not trying to jump the gun.
No, it's cool. Now, in the draft, which is curious, it says, and this is a quote, U.S. and international law regulate operations insofar as human and animal life are concerned. There are almost no restrictions on hostile actions against pathogenic life forms, organic robotic entities, or traditional zombies. So that kind of gives
it's a pretty broad stroke.
Yeah, it's a free pass on, you know, for movie examples, Terminator, zombies, aliens, stuff like that. It's a free pass. We can basically, us and the military can just gun happy, mow them all down.
Kind of weird considering the advancements in like biotech and nanotech.
That's
it's kind of tied in.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into, because there are new gene editing programs like CRISPR and stuff that actually allow people to alter genes. You know, that's just in humans, right? We've been messing with viruses and stuff for a long, long time. And there's even to date, like this year, senators who are looking into Lyme disease. Like, he's actually calling for an inspection on the government against Lyme disease, claiming that the military used and weaponized ticks to carry Lyme disease to drop over the enemies, you know, that they were fighting.
And now they're just all over Illinois.
Yes.
Sick.
And all, you know, I feel bad for the East Coast, because they have it worse, and you guys are currently dealing with that new EEE virus that mosquitoes are carrying, and they're killing kids. So I feel for you guys. That's got to be terrible. But back to the subject, this is kind of cool, but it also is one of the red flags for me, because in this document, by me reading off this, you will understand the in-depth thinking that these people did. And I almost feel like they have more knowledge on some of this stuff than they actually let on. Now, given I'm not, you know, an expert in viruses or radiation or weaponizing of viruses and stuff. I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to that stuff. But in this document, it states the types of zombies they anticipate fighting. So here are the types, and I'll give you like a breakdown on each one. And there's actually quite a few. The first one they label as PZ, pathogenic zombie. They are a zombie life form created after an organism is infected by a virus or bacteria or some other form of contagion. So that is kind of like, I take that as kind of like your 28 weeks later stuff.
Yeah, your wreck.
Because you're not actually raising anything from the dead, right?
Exactly. It's like the movie Wreck, where the guy weaponizes a form of rabies.
Yes.
And it makes people just go fucking nuts and attack other people, therefore spreading the disease.
Right.
So not your typical zombie, but it's like a virus that makes people nuts.
Yeah. Okay, so that one's kind of a self-given. Like,
that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
I feel like out of all the possibilities, like, that is probably, in my mind, from what I've read so far, the number one thing that could happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the most plausible one. And once again, we do dive into this a little bit later in the episode and in some of my research about this possibility, which, like we're kind of talking about here, is probably the top of the list, you know, as far as being possible.
Because I'll wait till we get into it later.
Okay.
My brain's starting to just run circles.
That's what I wanted. So the next one they label as RZ, radiation zombies. They are a zombie life form created after an organism is infected by an extreme dosage of electromagnetic and or particle radiation.
How shitty would it be if virus zombie apocalypse starts and they're like, hey, the only way we're going to fucking solve this is to just nuke the shit out of everything. They're like, oh, hey, we got rid of all these zombies, and then they all raise back up as radiation zombies.
Yeah, but this is like one of the red flags for me, because I know nothing about electromagnetic and particle radiation. I have no knowledge in this stuff because it is advanced stuff. But that almost, it could be me being kind of a little paranoid and stuff, but doesn't that almost trigger the thought, like, what do they know that radiation and this stuff can actually do?
Because
why else would you think of this?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what's the first thing they do whenever there's a radiation leak? Like, look at Fukushima. Look at Chernobyl. First thing they do is get everyone the hell out of there.
Right.
So, and then they quarantine it, where they're like, don't go in there, you're going to die. Yeah. But they're like, you're going to die of radiation. They should be like, you're probably going to die of zombie attack.
And you've heard the reports of, like, in Chernobyl and stuff, of this excess radiation creating like hybrid wolves and stuff that are just huge. And I've heard reports of it. I can't verify if it's true or not, but just, you know, keep that thought in your head. Now this next one is a little curious, but once again, it makes me wonder. They labeled this next type of zombie as EMZ, evil magic zombie. Now you hear that, and I know you're just kind of like,
dog.
Bullshit.
Voodoo.
That's basically what it is.
Don't fuck with the voodoo.
It's a zombie life form created via some form of occult experimentation in what might otherwise be referred to as evil magic. So that's the first one I think of, you know, voodoo and like necromancy.
Damn.
But once again, now unless this is one of the ones where I could kind of see it being like, okay, well, let's have fun with this.
But
at the same time, I do believe in the practice of voodoo and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And it's not even so much that, like in my brain, I don't feel like they're, again, raising the dead.
No.
You know what I mean? I just feel like it's a form of mind control, where once they get this voodoo going and they get inside this person's head, they're going to do whatever the fuck they want them to do. You know what I mean? So you're just as good as a zombie and not even having to be dead or have a virus.
Right.
Can you imagine if you had like 100,000 people that were brainwashed and whoever's pulling the strings are like, hey, go somewhere and fuck some shit up.
Right. But just like in the Project Bluebeam that we just discussed, which is a weird connection.
Damn.
But this next one that they label as SZ, space zombie. They are life forms originating from space or created by toxic contamination of the Earth environment via some form of extraterrestrial toxin or radiation. So once again, that's another one. What do they know that we don't know?
Like if a meteorite hit the, I think there is a zombie movie where a meteorite hit the Earth and it raised the dead.
Or what about the one where they land on the moon and the rocks were a life form?
Like, what was that, Apollo 18?
Something like that, which was, it was creepy though. That one was creepy.
Or look at Cloverfield. When he landed here and then all the weird shit started popping off his back and making everybody go crazy.
Yep.
That fucking sucks.
Right.
I have to fight Cloverfield and zombies.
Now, the next one is another, I find it another plausible one. It's called WZ, weaponized zombies. Are zombie life forms deliberately created via biomechanical engineering for the purpose of becoming or being employed as weapons? Zombie weaponization programs and supporting infrastructures are included in the COAs to deal with threats. So that one, you know, that one goes back to like your gene editing, your virus editing and stuff like that. And then
definitely plausible.
Yeah, for sure. And now this one is a little more curious because it's almost like
it's kind of, that could kind of be like Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, it's basically like let's create a battalion of these things.
Like the Winter Soldier or some shit.
Right.
Like once they hear say a government goes in and does this to a bunch of soldiers, you know what? Like implants this shit or mind control or whatever, and as soon as they hear a trigger word or whatever, they have one mission in mind. So that's essentially making them a zombie.
Yeah, especially if it altered their way of thinking, you know, because essentially if you wanted to get really advanced, there was almost like a Black Mirror episode where they implant something in their brain and it gives them like optics in their eyes and stuff, and it makes them see other humans as basically zombies, and so they kill them.
That's fucked up.
Some dude gets jogged and he starts seeing things in the real world and questions everything. But this last one is, well, there's three more to go over, but this next one is weird because it really makes me think of Spider-Man. It's labeled as SIZ, symbiont infected zombies.
Oh shit.
They are zombie life forms originating from the introduction of symbiote life, a symbiote life form into an otherwise healthy host. Although the symptoms of symbiote zombies is similar in most regards to pathogenic zombies, the symbiote does not kill the host organism quickly or at all. However, there is no known way to save an organism after zombies have occurred, even if the symbiote is removed.
Like, that shit's already happening now with that weird-ass fungus that takes over grasshoppers and ants and shit.
Yeah, and there's worms that do it, too.
Yeah, and then causes them, like, causes them to drown themselves.
Yeah.
And then that helps produce spores or some shit. Like what's stopping that from getting into fucking people?
Right, well,
I'm dropping F-bombs left and right. I think it's because of all the cold medicine.
But, you know, in their wording here is curious, you know, it says there is no known way to save an organism after this occurs.
Yeah, you take the symbiote out and it's dead.
But the wording is curious to me, you know, because it's like we've tried this. We've tried removing the symbiote from the living organism and it didn't work.
It worked for Tom Hardy.
Well, it's because he's Tom Hardy and he's awesome.
That's true.
The next one is kind of funny because the little pun they put at the end, but the next one is called VZ, vegetarian zombies.
What?
They are a zombie life form originating from any cause but pose no direct threat to humans because they only eat plant life, which as you go in, you find out why these would be so dangerous.
If they eat all the fucking plants, we're going to starve to death.
Exactly. Although VZs don't attack humans or other animal life, they will consume all plant life in front of them. They can cause massive deforestation or elimination of basic food crops essential to humans. And the little pun is, instead of all your brain-eating zombies grown in grain or brains. They now grown grains.
Vegans.
Now this last one.
Just kidding.
This last one is funny, but it's also scary because this is the only recorded case of zombies actually existing. It's labeled as CZ, chicken zombies. And it says, this is the only proven case of zombies they occur. Or this is the only proven case of zombies. They occur when old hens that can no longer lay eggs are incorrectly euthanized by poultry farmers using carbon monoxide. The hens are then deposited in large piles to decompose. The hens appear to be dead when buried, but inexplicably come back to life and dig themselves out from the piles of the dead.
What?
Now, they will basically weasel their way out, and they're not really that coherent, but they move around and everything else, and then eventually that, you know, everything fails again and they die.
Well, that's what happens when you bury your chickens in the pet cemetery.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Now, there was some other stuff that I went into, because this thing is just the documents from the DOD and stuff, as you can imagine, it's long. But there's a couple other things that I found pretty interesting. There's some environmental effects. This is another one that is kind of a red flag for me. The viral pathogens that cause PZs have some vulnerability to ultraviolet light. UV light impart the functions of ribonucleic acids that comprise most viral life forms. At best, UV light can disrupt virus reproduction in healthy cells. So basically, that is saying that they expect more zombie activity at night than during the day, because the sunlight will actually start to cause them pain because it's disrupting the actual virus that's inside them. Which, if you think about it, you know, entertain that thought of an actual zombie apocalypse, you can almost bank that all of your utilities are going to be down. So when the scariest time of the day is obviously going to be the night, because you're not going to be able to see anything. And that's whenever they propose there will be more activity, which is scary to think about.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. And then it actually has in this, it has assumption, like a list that's called assumptions. And I've found three of them that stuck out to me. One was zombie forces will become stronger with each human casualty, which makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Every one human loss is a zombie gain.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Exactly.
Numbers add up pretty quick after that.
Now, this is another curious statement.
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
There is no known medical cure for a zombie pathogen. At this time, it can be assumed that once a human turns, they cannot be cured or reverted to human status.
Only killed.
Seek out the nearest CDC for any hopes of medical breakthroughs during a time of a pandemic. And then there was another one that was interesting. And if you are one of those people that like to prepare for the zombie apocalypse, here's something that you should take note of. Marketing materials for most hand sanitizer products indicate the product kills 99% of all germs. Although none of these products has ever indicated any effect against biohazard level 4 pathogens like Ebola, it is possible that such products could limit or delay the spread of pathogens.
Wouldn't that be a goddamn mindfuck?
Yeah. Put some hand sanitizer on, bro. Yeah. Can't get you.
Yeah. The one thing that saves us is what Sarah's got hoarded in her purse. Holy shit.
Now, I'm kind of doing like a breakdown of the initial plan here, because the plan is very in-depth and it's worded in a way that's kind of hard to understand. But here's the essential breakdown. In the first phase of their plan, authorities will instruct everyone on how to kill the zombies. You know, obviously, we all know how by the movies, you shoot them in the head.
Oh, yeah.
But
clearly,
with that being said, the second phase is labeled as deterrence. And it's funny that they even put this as a phase, because it says zombies cannot be deterred.
Here's your deterrence. There aren't any.
But what they want from this, what they want from this is they want us to have confidence in the government's ability to protect us and eliminate the threat in the last few, you know, in the last few phases. The military is going to sweep infected areas, killing zombies and burning the bodies, removing all threat of infection. Then the government, and this is weird wording, the government will rebuild authority over the living population while eliminating the last bits of zombies. So the government's got to get theirs back in.
You know, it almost sounds to me like this is a plan for some kind of epidemic, not zombie epidemic. You know
what
I mean?
Well, like I said, it was more designed for that type of thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They just used this as like
let's take
a fun technique.
Let's say the fucking Black Plague reemerges, or smallpox reemerges, and it starts wiping people the hell out.
Yeah,
the last thing somebody wants to find on the internet is a breakdown of how to take care of a Black Plague epidemic.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's going to make people be like, oh, shit. You know, I thought we didn't have to worry about that anymore.
But see, the way I think is that's helpful information.
Now they're just putting zombies in there because it's a pop culture phenomenon, and everybody's right. Just going to be like, oh, well, that's weird. But it's almost like they're using it as a smokescreen for something else. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure, and that's
kind of ease the tension.
That's basically what this whole drill is. It's to help think outside the box. It's not, they say it's not legitimately for zombies, but like I said, there are a lot of suspect things being stated in this document. Now I broke away from the document because it's very monotonous reading that whole thing. But there was a study that asked the students, how plausible is it that we would survive a zombie apocalypse? And the odds on the first study are extremely grim. It basically says that at best, we wouldn't make it past 100 days.
I was just looking at that.
Yeah, which is scary.
They said in this article that I just pulled up, it's put together from the British Medical Journal, The Lancet. It's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek paper they put together called Zombie Infections, Epidemiology, Treatment, and Prevention. It said that the zombie hordes would take the Earth's population down to 273 survivors in 100 days.
That's crazy. And you know, those people would probably be the people that hold up in the mountains and stuff where it's nice and cold.
They used the SEER model to come to this conclusion, which is use an epidemiology to simulate how disease spread over time. It's not the first time zombies have been used as a public health metaphor. In the analysis, the University of Leicester undergraduates assumed that each zombie would have a 90% success chance or success at finding and infecting one human per day.
Right.
So that's going to just start stacking on top of one.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you got to understand with this type of research, they have to put in different boundaries because in with the same group, they altered the parameters of the study. And
I didn't mean to steal your thunder there.
No, it's fine. They altered the parameters, and with this one, it said it would take humans around 2 to 3 years to finally wipe all the zombies out. Just changing the parameters. So I know that a lot of people publish on the grim one because it's the most clickbaity.
Yeah. That's crazy. If the zombies had a 90% success rate at finding one and infecting one human per day, that rate would be twice as contagious as the Black Death from the 1300s.
Which is insane.
They estimate that a zombie could live up to 20 days without eating, I'm assuming, without brains, it says.
Yeah.
Assuming a starting population of 7.5 billion people, approximately the world's population today, the students calculated that it would take 20 days for a single zombie to start an epidemic of noticeable proportions. At that point, the pandemic would have begun, assuming no geographic isolation. In fact, the human population would drop to 181 by the 100th day of the epidemic, with 190 million zombies roaming.
Which, I mean, the odds are, you're not, it's done. It's done. But with that being said, getting past this study for a second, I started looking into, what are the chances of a zombie apocalypse? Like what? More or less the virus pathogen-based one. Because like we were talking about, to me, this is probably the most plausible one. You know, especially if you factor out the space stuff. Because I still could see space, that scenario dropping in on us too. But I was reading some information that it could actually be possible because there are already viruses out there that kind of put people and animals in a zombie state. Now, as we discussed earlier, rabies is a prime example. And rabies infects the central nervous system, which can drive people to be violently mad. But, and here's the kicker, if someone combined rabies with the ability of, say, the flu virus, then you would have a virus that not only spreads like wildfire, but in, you know, it actually has the potential to infect like wildfire because everybody catches the flu. And I mean, it's an airborne virus, which is the hardest to combat because you would have to isolate everyone away from everyone, which we're people, and that doesn't happen. We don't do that type of stuff. And, you know, with that being said, there's actually, I read somewhere where it was saying that the outbreak in a situation like that would be even worse because people's will to survive. Even if they knew they had been bitten or infected, they would be hesitant to tell,
absolutely,
you know, people around them.
It's a common zombie trope, like zombie movie trope. Like, you're going to hide it because you don't want to die.
Right,
even
exactly.
Even if you put everyone else in your house at risk, you're like, man.
But what if I make it?
Yeah, I could be immune to it. And if you want, like, there's a movie called Wreck, but there's an American version of it called Quarantine, and it's about, spoiler alert, a kind of weaponized version of rabies. And you should watch it. It's heavy.
Yeah. But this rabies talk, if it were to set in, like if you just got rabies now as it sits, if it were to set in within a week, it would most likely be fatal if you didn't get it treated. But, and this is where things like CRISPR and all this new technology comes into play. If the genetic code of the rabies virus went through enough changes or mutations, its incubation time could be reduced, according to scientists. And this was done by scientists. And the scary thing about viruses is that viruses naturally have a high mutation rate, and they're always constantly changing to evade or bypass defenses of the host. One scientist even went out to say that if rabies could mature fast enough, it could cause infection within an hour or two.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. And to me, it's highly plausible that, I mean, come on. You know, not to talk shit on scientists, but these guys are always pushing the envelope. Why would it be far-fetched to think that somebody out there is going to be like, you know what? Let's just mix rabies with the flu.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Ebola with the flu, they're, or whatever.
Always doing shit like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I mean,
look at the Large Hadron Collider. I know it has nothing to do with this, but it kind of circles back to, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right. And then, not to mention, with weaponizing things, what does that also bring out with humans? Greed.
Oh, yeah. And, like,
you talk about selling. If you have created the most deadly virus on the planet, talk about becoming rich, because you could market that to every country.
Hand sanitizer is going to go through the roof, dog.
No doubt. I guess everybody needs to start buying stock in hand sanitizer.
And it wasn't during the Cold War when Russia and everybody was talking about weaponizing smallpox and putting them on the head. Like,
probably.
On the tips of warheads and
yeah,
shit.
Well, I remember that threat that people were talking about putting smallpox on warheads.
Now just imagine if it was fucking zombie rabies.
Well, yeah, and then we're going to have radiated smallpox flying out everywhere.
Yeah. So if you just drop that in a small town, and everyone that gets infected with it is just going to infect more people, and then it'd just be a shit show.
Absolutely. You know, but let's have a little bit of fun here for a second, because I'm past a lot of the fact-based stuff and the, you know, past the document. Let's pretend a zombie apocalypse actually happens. You know, what's your first move, Steve? What do you think you're going to do?
I don't even know. I would have went to the discount house and just holed up in there, but it's shut down.
Yeah, it's gone, man.
Because you had all the ammunition, all the snacks.
Slim Jims.
You could have just got on the roof and just hung out.
Yep.
Until you ran out of food.
Yep.
But now, I don't know, get to my kids, make sure they're kosher.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Like, to me, it's just thinking about it is completely disheartening. I mean, if you had zombies, I don't think I'd be that worried.
Like the dead, like,
yeah, those zombies is whatever, dude. I'll speed walk past you.
Yeah.
I'll be an idiot speed walking down the street. But
I feel like that's so improbable. Like, the dead rising from the grave is just completely out of the realm of ever being able to happen ever.
Right. But
now these virus zombies and alien zombies, and
dude, you're talking like 28 days later type of shit. And that
running
stuff is scary, because they are all Olympic sprinters.
And even the rats are scared of them. You remember that is that 28 days later?
Yes.
Where they're
in
the subway
tunnel.
Or not the subway tunnel, but the car tunnel.
Yes.
And you hear the noise, and it's the rats running away from these sons of bitches. Like, that's awful.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do.
I mean, it would essentially, in my eyes, it would be like any other type of major disaster. Especially,
just hole up and fend for yourself.
That's all it's going to be, and that's what sucks about the world, because not only do you have to worry about, for the example, zombies, but you have to worry about your neighbors, too, because it's going to get to a point where everybody starts running out of food and water.
Shit, dog, after 100 days, you ain't going to worry about that, because there's only going to be 273 surviving anyway.
Well, I don't necessarily want to be eaten or turned.
By a human or a zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be on the dinner list. But you know, the cities are what's going to stay out of cities. And that's for any natural disaster. If anything crazy ever happens, you know, super volcano, the grid goes down, the economy collapses, you name it.
Comet strike.
If I was in the city, strike. I would pack a bag within 5 minutes, and as long as I had my family with me, I'd be getting the fuck out of there. Because the cities are what's going to, they are going to be war zones. Utter war zones. And then, you know, if you had sprinkled on zombies on top of this, I could see a city falling within hours.
If you guys haven't read it yet, you should read the novel World War Z, not the stupid Brad Pitt movie, because it's got the same name but has nothing to do with it.
Hey, Brad Pitt's the truth, though.
It's true, but not in that movie. Read the book. It's like a step-by-step account of people who have actually survived what they call the zombie war, the Great Zombie War. It's so well written, and the way Max Brooks writes, it almost reads like a historical document. Like it really happened. Like all these people's accounts are so real.
I need to get the audiobook and just listen to it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I know you've talked to me about it 1,000 times.
Yeah, they go,
I still haven't done it.
They go from everyday people like farmers that live out in the middle of nowhere that survive to military guys who are right in the thick of the shit that was going on, and it's nuts.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think I am gonna do that. I think I'm gonna buy the book and just the audiobook. I don't read. That stuff's overrated.
Takes too long.
No, but I thought it'd be a fun episode to just kind of dabble with. And like I said, I mean, am I wrong that some of the wording and stuff in here throws up some red flags?
Almost makes you think that they've already, like, piddled with this a little bit.
That's kind of what I'm vibing. I'm kind of vibing that even if you remove the general stereotype of zombie, it's like... they know something. I mean, obviously they do.
Of course they do.
But they know more about this stuff than they're willing to let on. Which, I mean, I don't necessarily blame them, because the thought of something like this happening is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, sucks.
You know, because, I mean, shit, people freak out when... you remember when the Ebola hit? And we had the one person that came to America from wherever that had Ebola? That shit's scary to think about. And the Black Plague and stuff still resurfaces from time to time.
Yeah, I don't want to get the Black Plague either.
No, and I mean, that's what everybody needs to think about, is how viruses do constantly mutate.
Especially with like you said, with as much as scientists, you know, mess around with shit, they're like, hey, we probably shouldn't do this, but let's just see if it works.
Yeah, you know? I know, dude, totally. That is extremely possible. You know, because odds are they're like, well, we're not going to get this to work. And then it happens, and they're like, oh, shit.
I just read the other day that like, apparently there's only like 2 places in the world that contain the live vials of smallpox that's known of. I'm sure like when the Cold War broke out and Soviet Union collapsed, there's probably some that got away. But the one in Russia caught fire, and there was an explosion a couple weeks ago. Apparently the smallpox virus is fine. But it was just creepy to read about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I do kind of understand. I wanted to say, why would you even keep the virus anywhere? But
the only way you're going to get antivirus is to have a virus.
Exactly. You know, because if that were to pop up, or even a mutation of another virus that was relatively similar, they have a base to work off of, at least a starting point. You know, to attack.
Definitely.
But I don't know. All that stuff scares me, because human curiosity is dumb.
Probably going to be our downfall.
Fuck yes, it's going to be our downfall.
If some rogue asteroid doesn't take us out, or super volcano,
we'll do it to ourselves.
It's probably just going to be us.
It will. There's no doubt about it.
Around with shit.
There's no doubt about it. We as people are way too curious about shit. You know, it's like Icarus. Just flying too close to the sun. That's exactly what we're going to do. If we already haven't. I guarantee that we've created viruses out there that nobody even knows about. And they're like, well, we're just going to tuck this one away. It's there.
And it makes you think, like, how crazy is it that all these new viruses just pop up all the time? Like, yeah. Had anybody heard about Zika virus
or that
5 years ago or EEE 2 years ago or the bird flu or the swine flu or any of that bullshit?
Yep.
No, they just pop up out of, do these things just like, are they just lying dormant and all of a sudden someone's digging out in a forest somewhere and unearths this virus
or
and
Antarctica?
Or is it more plausible that people are fucking around with shit in some laboratory and it's getting out that way?
Dude, a lot of people are convinced that, like, the bird flu and swine flu and stuff are government made.
Which, wouldn't shock you.
No, and I mean, if you dig into the NWO and blah, 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 or the Georgia Stones.
Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah. But they, you know, like the Georgia Stones, nobody really knows who created them. They think the Rosicrucians did it, but there is actually an ideal population number on it. And you hear people talk about it all the time.
It's not 7.5 billion.
No, not even close. You know, there are a lot of people that talk about it, that talk about population control, even with the GMO shit. And there's people who talk about it that don't even relate it to the NWO or anything like that. But you hear population control. And I mean, fuck with cancer. People think they have a cure for cancer, but they don't want to give it to us. Because
we're worth so much more sick.
Yeah, we are so willing to pay for treatment than allow ourselves to be taken. Which,
this just got really heavy.
It's possible. It is totally possible. And the way I think about that type of shit, and it is getting heavy, but the way I think about it is, how much fucking money have people donated to just even simple types of research? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're always seeing donations for, you know, cancer or this or that. And dude, you know that there's been millions, if not billions of dollars dedicated to this type of research. You mean to tell me
there's way more money made in chemotherapy and drugs and insurance,
right,
and shit like that?
You mean to fucking tell me we can shoot a guy into goddamn outer space, but we can't figure out how to cure something on our own planet? I don't buy that one bit. Sorry.
I thought you didn't believe we went to the moon.
Well, I don't, but it's whatever.
Point made.
Yeah, that's I get just it. Trying to make a point.
I get it.
Assholes. No, but we can build. I mean, the human race has been, we have been so accomplished in, you know, over time. I just find it highly improbable that we haven't found a cure for a lot of this shit. They're talking like there's strains of, like, just normal bacteria that are becoming immune to everything now, that normal antibiotics can't handle them.
I believe it.
You know,
just,
so you,
every all the shit just mutates. Like, it's like you right, said earlier exactly. on, it just mutates to make itself stronger. Same way we do it. You know,
for sure. I mean, it just, it's almost like the circle of life is starting to evolve again to take us back down a notch. Down, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I say to close off the episode, we rewind a little bit and you go back to all those different types of zombies and we just like talk about the probability of them happening. All
right, cool.
Because we're getting heavy in that cancer talk, dog.
Oh, I know. I'm opinionated. I apologize.
No need.
All right.
That's
so,
what we're here for.
So I think we both agree the PZ is probably the most logical.
That's the virus.
Pathogenic zombie.
Yeah. That's my number one because
I back that.
Like I said, new diseases pop up all the time. Either they're being created in a lab or they're coming from somewhere. Like look at the damn, like you said, Antarctica, all the ice melting out there. Who's to say that there's not some fucked up disease buried under a mile of ice that's getting ready to melt out in the next 10 years?
Right.
Turn us all into eating each other.
Exactly.
All right. So that's going to be number one. If shit's going to go down, that's probably going to be the reason why.
Okay. I think my number two pick.
I don't remember them.
Here, they're right there.
Okay.
So I think my number two pick is probably going to be weaponized zombies.
Yeah, that's Yeah, that's pretty plausible.
You know, because all that stating is that. So I bet the first pick, I feel like that's more of like a natural virus that pops up. With the weaponized zombies, I kind of feel like, and I could be totally wrong, but I kind of feel like this is us tampering with bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
To create this zombie horde to work in whatever nation's benefit or whatever person's benefit.
It's not virus related at all.
I mean, it could be. It's just that,
that's true.
That we designed it to do this.
So that's pretty plausible.
I think weaponized zombies is probably my, as long as my understanding is correct, then weaponized is my number two pick.
Yeah. Mine too. I don't trust humans, and I wouldn't put it past us to do that shit.
I was just talking to my wife about that today.
So, yeah, that's probably two.
I think my number three, more so for my lack of knowledge in radiation, I think my number three is going to be space zombie.
Yeah, I could see that. Because there could be life viruses and shit out there that hits the Earth that we don't even know about.
Yeah,
you know
for sure. Absolutely. Like,
we don't even know shit at all.
Well, shit, there's theories that state that that's where we probably came from. Or even you take us out of the, well, we won't even get into that debate. But there are people that think the octopus is not from this planet because its genes are unlike anything that has ever been found in the ocean.
That's funny you say that because I had a guy at work that's wanting us to do an episode on the octopus.
No shit.
Yeah, he asked me that a couple weeks ago.
That's kind of ironic.
Maybe it's coming your way, Bobby.
Hey.
Next, radiation zombie seems like it could be a thing.
Yeah, the only reason why it falls lower on the list, like I said, I don't know shit about, you know, extreme doses of the electromagnetic or particle radiation. I don't know shit about it, so I can't really put a finger on it. You know, I almost say that for me personally, the radiation and the symbiote zombies kind of tie for fourth place for me.
Yeah, but just because, like you said, there's not a lot of information on it. I mean, we know how radiation affects the body, but we just know what they tell us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And symbiote, I mean, like you were saying, maybe symbiote should be higher on my list. Maybe it should be three instead of space zombies because there are already, you know, cases.
I was reading one that there's a parasite in starling, you know, starling bird.
Yeah.
And it's shit that a pill bug will eat and get the parasite in it, and it causes it to do hazardous shit that it wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Like it makes itself known, it makes itself visible to other starlings, which are its like number one predator.
Right.
So it in turn eats the parasitic pill bug as food, therefore spreading the parasite back to the starling, a new starling, which shits and gets more.
Yeah.
All it would take.
Rats and cats do the same thing. I forget that disease. But that one actually, that one can transfer to humans. The rat cat one. I cannot remember what it's called.
There's funguses that do that shit too. Like, all it would take would be it to mutate enough to get into humans. Yeah, it may not make us into like a zombie to where it'll spread it around and kill people and all that shit.
It'll still fuck us up.
But it could make it to where, like, say we just start doing, maybe we get a parasite that causes us to kill ourselves. You know, could you imagine that kind of like...
What was that movie called? I always forget the name of this movie.
Mark
The Happening?
Wahlberg. Yeah.
The Happening.
Yeah, like where the plants do that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It,
fuck that.
Yeah, that would be it. Or you get some scientific asshole that takes those funguses and those bacteria and they weaponize them.
Yeah.
Change it to where they are in humans. And they're like, here, let's just try this for a little bit.
True that.
So
true that.
That one. Dude, that symbiote shit scares me more. I'm going to move it up higher on the list because it's already out there.
Right, true.
It's just not happening to humans.
Right on. No, I can respect that. So maybe that one falls three on the list.
Yeah.
Knocking weaponized to four. Space to five, maybe. Or whatever. I don't even know what number on now. You guys will figure it out.
Next one would probably be my evil magic zombies, my voodoo zombies, because I don't feel like that would be on a global scale. Those are going to be one-off things.
True.
Those are going to be people just like fucking around with the black magic and being like, hey, I'm going to make this dude do my bidding for a little bit.
Right.
Probability, probably, it's probable. Is it going to end the world?
There's been cases.
It's going to end the world? Nah.
There's been cases, but I don't know. I'm not going to dig into that subject, but
that's for another episode.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to rule the chicken zombie thing out. That one's gone.
Because it already happened.
It's already happened, and then we didn't go and eat people, so that don't count. We'll scratch that one off the list. But the vegetarian zombies is going to be the last on the list. But with the bringing up of the happening, so, I mean, I guess the way I see it, the way I would picture it in my head, it's kind of like the happening, except it puts us into more of...
Instead of plants causing people to kill themselves, it'd just be people killing plants. Or it doesn't even have to be people. Like, you started it off, it said any kind of living organism. Like, what if if something happens...
Like a locust.
And ants start eating the shit out of all the vegetation. I read somewhere that if there was something to happen to kill off all humans, you would assume that it'd be big enough to kill off all like major mammals. What would be left at the thing that would climb to the top of the food chain next would be ants. They would be the primary big heavy hitter because their numbers are just so fucking many.
Yeah, they are everywhere.
Like,
I hate
how would
them
you?
Things.
Yeah, they probably don't even have any idea how many ants. There's probably 10 billion ants underneath my house. I fight with them all the time.
Same here.
Can you imagine if they just went out and just started eating everything?
Yeah. Yeah, that would, I mean, that's a good point.
That sucks.
Or you look at videos of like locust swarms and shit, how they just, I mean, it is literally like out of a movie.
Think if every insect teamed together to eat all the vegetation on the planet.
That would fucking suck. But that would also be like a suicide mission too.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, the ants, I could see the ants going either way because you always see ants like swarming little dead bug bodies and stuff.
Yeah, they're hungry.
They're assholes.
They're going to eat whatever.
They're assholes.
And just think, as soon as we all start starving, that's just more food for them to eat as we start dropping
off.
That's
true.
They're going to be kings of the hill, dog.
That's right.
Until they starve.
Yeah.
Then they're just going to start eating each other and just going to be ant. We are way over time. We're cannibalizing ants.
That's all right. In the name of Con Up 8888.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to put the eights together. I don't give a shit.
All right. We're going to wrap it up there.
Right on.
Cold medicine has taken us way over time. So thanks for hanging out with us and talking zombies.
Yeah, it was fun.
Check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Just drop by, say hi, call us, leave us a message.
Tell your friends about us.
Yeah, share us. That'd be dope.
Let's get more conversation going. Even if it's just with us.
All your creepy friends, all your friends that are into weird shit, tell them about us.
For sure.
But until next time, stay safe out there. Keep your eyes peeled for zombie ants, and let's get weird.